It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It is a Football Friday as we gear up for Texans, Chargers on Saturday at NRG Stadium. And in that game, it's cliche at this point, but
what's that?
Fun nonetheless. Who are the X factors?
Keys to the game?
Yeah, we'll get to those. Who will be the most important non-quarterback on the field for the Texans in this game?
Yeah, you know what? I don't even think I just interpret it wrong. I think of X factor like
X factor
below the radar kind of guy.
But that's the thing I love. Like this, I do love X factor as one of the sports cliches, as we were talking about that yesterday, because it does have that ambiguity to it, and it's one of the reasons why it's problematic. It's just like, hey, man, it means whatever you want it to mean in that moment, right?
The X-Factor of the game is C.J. Stroud.
That's right.
Oh, gosh.
That's right.
You think?
C.J. Stroud have a good game, then they will win.
Mm-hmm. It just depends on it. If you want to be real heady with it, you could try and make the X-Factor someone who, like, probably ain't even going to make that much. But, like, if he goes off.
Yeah.
Right?
It's all in how you interpret it.
Xavier Hutchinson, because there's a possibility that maybe if he does, you know what I mean? Like, so X Factor can go.
John Mechie have a great game.
Now, that to me would be an X Factor. Like, to me, it's like kind of the under the radar guys. Like, the way I put it, and for the record, we talked about this. I shared this with you guys before he became a first team All Pro. But to me, like, the people that are you know, obviously big time important players, but could really step up and really decide the game, change the game, turn the game, make a play. The Christian Harris play from the Browns game last year, you know, that kind of thing. And my list starts and ends with Derek Stingley, man. I mean, first of all, he's going to be feeling it a little bit, that's for sure, you know, after being named first team All-Pro, if you didn't hear.
Why would you say that? You think he out here partying?
No, but I mean, it's going to be a lot of juice, you know, just with the playoff game and that as well. But I just think he's so damn good, man.
And correct.
I think he's so darn
as
good.
As do the All-Pro voters.
Yeah, and
the Associated Press.
And not only that, like, to me, there's no question that he's going to travel. You know, he's going to travel with Ladd McConkey. And he's had good success doing that.
That'll be an interesting thing to see in this game. I started thinking about zone, but that's actually more of the other side of this football. I like that answer. However, it wasn't the answer that I thought of when I went to who would be the most important non-quarterback on the field for the Texans. I actually think it's a name that in your notes that you wrote down, but you didn't write him down high enough for me, because I'd put him absolutely number one. And here's the reason why. I think Nico Collins is the most important non-quarterback in this game for the Texans. And maybe this is just taking for granted, knowing that the defense will do their job, right? Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's a cop-out in some ways. The thing that we have questions about is if this offense can execute, and if they can execute with any level of consistency. And I'm still not certain of that. But what is going to be necessary, according to Bobby Slowick, and just honestly general, you're going to need explosives. And I don't know that there's anybody on this team that I trust enough to get you those explosives than Nico Collins. Because if you're not sustaining drives, I don't care I do care how few, but like it's highly unlikely that you're going to have few enough points to just win it off of that, right? You're going to need to find a way to get some big plays down the field. And I feel like Nico Collins exists as your best possibility of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really might just be one or two explosives that makes the difference in this game, because I'm looking at this as probably a low-scoring game.
I think you're right.
And if you have a big bomb for 75 yards and a touchdown, that could be more than enough to make the difference. If you have, like, maybe one drive that gets you a field goal and you're ending up, you know, or another drive that gets you a touchdown and you end up with 17 points, I think this game is won with 17 points.
I think it could easily be won with 17 points. It's going to be a low-scoring game. But equally as important as a big play to Nico Collins is a big interception. Or a big interception and return, or a big interception and pick six, you know, or shutting down their big weapon on the other side. And I just think Derek Stingley, and by the way, thank you, Derek Stingley, because Derek Stingley was asked about the Rex Ryan stuff, the Chargers are basically
getting a bye.
And he
I don't know why he became Shaquille O'Neal there.
He did two things. He did, right.
Lamb McConkey's barbecue chicken.
There we go. That's Derek Stingley doing Shaq. But he illustrated why the term that drives me nuts, it is what it is an absolute cop-out. And he also had this big, big smile on his face that would not leave his face when he was asked about the Rex Ryan comments. And so listen to how he used it is what it is. He's basically saying, yeah, I know I don't want to answer that, but I heard it.
I mean, I don't even, they can say what they want. It is what it is. Like, they're not going to be on the field with us, so we just got to go out there and play.
That's him saying, yeah, I don't want to answer that by saying it is what it is because that's a cop-out. But
so you think he didn't want to answer that?
He didn't want to give any more bulletin board material back.
One more time for me.
I mean, I don't even, they can say what they want. It is what it is. Like, they're not going to be on the field with us, so we just got to go out there and play.
I did not take that from that.
Yeah. That's an absolute cop-out.
No.
He did not want to give them their own bulletin board material. Like, yeah, that Rex Ryan can
disagree.
Go, you know, or
disagree.
The Chargers or this.
Nah,
or
that. I think you're reading that wrong.
Dude, what is he saying?
No, he's pretty much saying they going to say whatever they going to say.
You cannot change
what they say. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
Remember, it is what it is. By my assertion means that is something that I cannot change, and I accept it as being what it is.
Yeah, it ain't nothing you can do about that.
So, but he didn't.
So
give
he said it is what it is.
But they're not going to be on the field.
Yeah.
Cop out. But I appreciate him for illustrating exactly what I've been saying about this term, this phrase.
It doesn't look illustrated at all. Time.
But the more important thing, dude, you saw the video. He had this big smile like oh yeah, I know what people are saying. I know what people, he's feeling like he's going to be the guy, and I think he is going to be the guy. Who else is on your list of, again, not necessarily under the radar, but like, you know, players that can absolutely be the most important non-quarterback. For me, as you mentioned, Nico Collins is on the list.
Yes.
Obviously.
I have him at number one.
The next one's right behind Derek Stingley. For me, it's combo platter of Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Get that pressure on Justin Herbert.
Yeah, that's going to be really important. Because, again, the defense is going to need to, you know, neutralize this Chargers offense and not allow them to sustain drives and do those things. If you can get them in third and long in particular, and you can get back to Justin Herbert, he does not turn the football over without pressure. And so if you want to talk about the idea of having turnovers and Stingley being able to, Stingley or Kalen Bullock or, you know, whoever in the secondary or behind that defensive line, getting turnovers and really taking the ball away, giving the ball to the offense, especially in advantageous positions, making short fields, you're going to need to apply pressure. And that, of course, goes to a couple of guys who got a lot of all-pro votes, got a lot of Pro Bowl votes who were, you know, very high in pressure and sacks, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. I think that's fair. But following in the logic that I used to get to Nico Collins probably being the most important quarterback on the field for the Texans, I will go to something that on the YouTube, Wesley gets here, and I think that I agree in lockstep with him. If it's not Nico, how about some Joe Mixon, right?
He's on my list, too.
The dudes who can create explosive plays on offense, because, again, it feels like that's what's going to be necessary for this team to do something, right? Like, I need Joe Mixon to be able to break one. I need Joe Mixon to also look like the Joe Mixon that we had prior, and the Joe Mixon that we saw on that one drive in Tennessee versus the Joe Mixon that it felt like was only getting 20 yards a game. Like, how about we get back to 100 yards and a touchdown, Joe Mixon?
Yeah. Or just a couple of 20-yard runs. You know, the explosives that you're talking about. You know, really break a drive open and kind of set them up, you know?
Yeah, I just feel like you're going to need those in order to get points on the board in this game. That was what you needed all season long, right?
Yeah.
You needed kind of those guys to put on their capes, Joe Mixon in particular, Nico Collins as well, in order to get yardage. And I think that returning to the thing that works best for you, not like push the Nico Collins, Joe Mixon button. But those guys are the most important in trying to make that happen.
And you know, one way to become an all-pro like Derek Stingley, one way to become a star in this league is to do it in the postseason when everyone is watching. Figgy, how about Christian Harris running it back with another one?
That would be great.
That would be amazing. I think Christian Harris, you know, this whole thing about, he's still getting back to form. No, man. He's been in form.
I feel like that's a lie.
Yes.
I think he playing, D'Amico might be playing possum a little bit.
I think you're right. And then there's this one, and it's only because, you know, he is relatively new to the position. Blake Fisher. You know, Blake Fisher, hold up. You know, he's had more ups than downs, but, you know, he's a rookie, and he hasn't really been out there very much. He's facing some quality, whether it's Khalil Mack or Joey Bosa, he's facing some quality edge rushers.
Yes.
So Blake Fisher, man, that guy needs to have a game.
No, that's a great point, especially because on the other side, say what you will, Laremy Tunsil, when it comes to pass protection.
Yeah.
He's going to hold up for the most part. I mean,
he's been solid the last couple weeks, man.
I mean,
this is what we expected.
Of the Texans players, I think he had the most first-team All-Pro votes outside of Derek Stingley, who obviously actually made the first team of the All-Pros. Yeah, man, on the other side, that's gonna be the place where I imagine they try and test you. Hey, man, can Blake Fisher actually do this, especially since inside of him is Drew Scruggs, who is not a physically imposing guard.
Yeah,
man, I imagine that's the side of the line where they go, hey, is this a place that we can find some weakness in? Let's try it and see. Almost like if you were trying to steal something, right? Like if you were trying to steal something, you go up to a car, just tug on the door, see if that thing's open.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what it's going to be like on the right side of the offensive line. So, yeah, man, if Blake Fisher can hold up, give C.J. Stroud a clean pocket and allow him to try, you know, get the ball out to his receivers and maybe have a more consistent offense, yeah, that's going to be absolutely necessary, because what's going to be really bad is if that pocket is coming in and C.J. Stroud continues to add on to what is a title that nobody really wants, which is a quarterback who has thrown the most outside of the pocket, which he absolutely is this year, according to Next Gen Stats. Yeah, man, you don't want to have him having to scramble and run for his life again in a playoff game, because we've seen how that's harmed him this year.
Now, if you do want to talk about actual, the way I define it anyway, you know, X factors, then we can start talking about guys like Deontay Johnson. Then we can start talking about guys like Xavier Hutchinson, maybe Damian Pierce.
I would go.
And boy, I'm getting way ahead of myself because, you know, I haven't been convinced on him at all. But
the Damian Pierce, I think, is interesting.
That would be a great one.
And it's not from the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
It's in special teams, right? Like in a game
that's true.
In a game that is fairly knotted, regardless. And I think that's the way I view it. I imagine that's the way you view it as well. Special teams can be the great differentiator, and we've seen him at various points do some special stuff in the return game, Damian Pierce, that is.
Yeah.
Hey, man, go ahead. I mean, on the YouTube, they're talking about opening kick return touchdown. Hey, that'd be a great way to set the tone.
Yeah.
But just in general, hey, getting some good field position would be helpful, or even scoring off of some level of return, that would be really, really helpful. And then also, if you're going to have a defensive battle, which is possible, field position then becomes really important, and getting a good return helps in a good way. I think that he absolutely could be really important through there.
Yeah, no, I feel like we're kind of ahead of ourselves on Damian Pierce, but you bring up a great point on special teams. I mean, he's had his moments there.
Now, do you feel like Kyahmi Fairbairn is one that you could bring up here? Because somebody asked
he's
earlier.
More of a not under the radar guy. He's a guy that, you know, close game, low scoring game. I believe Seth said 20-17 Chargers.
He did say 20-17.
That's a field goal game. You know, that's when Kyahmi has to step up.
Yeah, someone was asking who is the better kicker in this one. Is it Cameron Dick or is it Kyahmi Fairbairn? And that's tough because there's a point in the season where I would have, without hesitation, thrown Kyahmi Fairbairn up there. But he's missed a few that feel like they're out of the realm of or they're out of the regular field that we would expect from Kyahmi Fairbairn. So I don't know. It would be lovely to not leave it up to Kyahmi Fairbairn. That's the way that you would hope to handle it. But I think that's closer than I want to admit.
Yeah.
And I'd hope that Kyahmi Fairbairn, with the distance that he brings, but then also with accuracy whenever you call him up, because it might be few and far between the opportunities to kick it, and you might need it whenever you call him up.
Yeah.
Deontay Johnson got to come through, someone said, and I think that's going to be huge and helpful, especially if he can find a way to replicate or be some level of facsimile to the type of things that Tank Dell gives you. Because you're asking a lot for a dude that has not in a real game yet caught from C.J. Stroud to jump in and really give you those things.
Exactly.
But that would be incredibly, hugely helpful if you could get that in this game. Somebody said the closer. Stop. Don't encourage him. Don't encourage him.
The closer. He's going to close for an interception, and you're going to go, aha.
No, we're going to say all Sting pro, baby.
Yeah. All pro Sting.
All pro Sting, baby.
Oh, we just mixed that up a little bit. Sting Pro Wall. All right. From the 832, Reggie, did you blow through a lunchtime confession with the checking door at car doors? No. I would never do that myself. Oh, man. That was just. Anyways, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's actually time for our lunchtime confessions. We'll do that next.
Ready?
Playoff football. Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, we've been pretty hyped up about this game, right? We've been very much like, all right, it's on now.
Football!
Let's get excited. It's going to be crazy in there, all that stuff. But, well, I'll put it this way. This is my confession. I want Derwin James to be my hype man. I want Derwin James to be my hype man.
Wait a minute.
This dude,
he played for the wrong team.
I know, but just as a hype man, I want him to talk about me the way he was talking about Dalton Schultz, man. He was asked this question. First of all, shout out to Derwin James because I thought he handled it well. But he was asked, maybe this is more about the question than Derwin James, but he handled it well. How do you slow down Dalton Schultz by an LA Chargers beat writer? How do you slow down Dalton Schultz?
Maximum team effort. He's another guy that can make plays with the ball in his hands. And it don't matter what we've been doing this whole season. All that matters what we do forward. And I can't wait, man, to get out there and compete against this team.
Look, I mean.
Now, Derwin. You know damn well.
Yeah.
That was a stock answer. But you picked the wrong stock answer. A guy who can make plays with the ball in his hands?
Yeah.
With all due respect to Dalton Schultz. I don't think Dalton Schultz will tell you, like, give me the ball. Once the ball is in my hands, then we're going to go make play. Yeah. He not make nobody miss. I mean, the one
he
time
must be thinking about somebody else.
The one time he hurdled this year,
Schultz.
I thought he.
We said Schultz, Dalton Schultz.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant Dalton Kincaid. My bad, dog. That was the wrong one. Yeah. No, I thought Dalton Schultz was the one time he tried to hurdle. I thought he was going to hurt himself. I was like, stop doing that, man.
Exactly.
Like, hey, man, and he's gotten a little bit more comfortable over the last few weeks. Like, and I mean, obviously, some of this has been the clear out in the wide receiving room.
I mean, look, he's good. I mean, I guess he's okay. I don't know what you want to say, but a weapon. Slow him down.
Well, I mean,
a man who can do it with a lot is, when he gets the hands in his.
He
ball,
is a weapon. It was the ball and make a play with the ball in his hands was the part that I was like, all right, guys.
I think NFL players do this pretty often where they have a generic answer for anything.
Got to
where they're like, man, yeah, he's a playmaker. He can make moves on the field. It was just very generic, and it's just like, man, some people ain't got that.
I do think Dalton has a role to play here because I think that I'm pretty sure the Chargers, I almost called them the Colts. The Chargers really play a lot of zone, and if there's one thing that I like in a zone is your tight end just going and being able to sit in a spot,
making plays with the ball in his hand.
That's not what that means. But I feel like he can serve a role in just if he's able to find the soft spot in the zone, if you could just hit that consistently, you might be able to just nickel and dime them that way and make them pay, or maybe make them, you know, focus in on those spots and possibly hit them over the top. But yeah, man, he has a role to play, but we ain't got a lot.
What would he say about John Lopez if he was?
That's what I want him to be my hype man.
You know, you got to watch John Lopez. He, you know, frat boy, went to college, be knocking them beers back, and he's the life of the party. Ladies, man.
Hey, here we go. Well, he's not wrong.
These are my confessions.
I allow stupid things to, there's stupid things that really get to me to the point where, like, I have very strong opinions on them. And it's weird because, like, sometimes important things I don't have strong opinions on, but really stupid ones.
Like,
I refuse to get behind the NFL trying to push Super Wild Card Weekend. What's super about it? What?
Boy, that's true.
We added one more team to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So there's three games per side rather than two games per side.
You're right.
What's super about that?
Yeah.
Word?
Yeah, you're right.
Super?
Yeah. Didn't they try to do this last year?
Yes, they did last year.
No, they do this every year now since they went to seven teams making it as opposed to six in each conference. But super, really?
Yeah.
We get a super wild card. What are we doing?
It's not your average wild card weekend.
You ain't got to. And the thing is, they ain't got to do that.
We're just going to watch anyway.
This ain't the NBA.
Yeah.
You ain't got
to. You're going to watch all of them unless you're Jason Kelce. We're going to watch all these games.
Yeah.
You don't have to lie to super wild card weekend. Ain't nothing super about it.
No, you're not wrong on that. That's for sure.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
And I care way more than I should. It's something stupid, mm-hmm. but I hate it.
These are my confessions.
So I want to say probably for the last month or two, I've been having a really, really, really bad cough. Mm-hmm. Like just a Bart type of cough where it's actually been keeping me up at night.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so I made a doctor's appointment and all that stuff. And but it's not until next week. So I'm just sitting around barking. You could probably see it on YouTube. I always cut the mic off and cough.
Yeah.
But I've been trying some remedies. My wife came up with a remedy. She or somebody told her about this remedy. And I feel like a complete jerk. That's
what
my confession. Man, I guess a friend told her that how she got rid of her husband's cough was get some onions, put them in the bag, put your feet in the bag, and then put a sock on.
Oh no!
And so I did that on top of get a little bowl of onions, sit it on the nightstand right there.
All that does is make you miserable,
dog. And I was so miserable.
Your feet stink.
And you stink.
I felt like I was sleeping in Subway.
Subway?
Yeah. No, Subway, the sandwich place.
Yeah. It's fresh, huh?
Put some banana peppers on there and some of that Figgy's onion feet.
Nah, it was not a pleasant smell at all, man.
Italian seasoning, please.
And then my wife rolled up. She was like, my eyes are burning. I forgot the onion. Man, this was the worst idea ever, man.
Did it help you cough?
I actually wasn't coughing that night. But you know
ain't
what?
No
I don't give a damn. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, I would rather cough than have than have my feet in
me
some
too.
Onions.
Yeah,
mustard,
so,
little mayo.
So immediately I got up this morning, took all of that off, and jumped right in the shower. That was nasty.
What are you
work,
doing,
man?
You had to have known better before you even did it.
Nah, I trust
his wife said to do it.
Yeah, oh, man. True. She was just like, here, let's try this. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Man, it was awful, man. I felt like a complete idiot doing that.
Yeah.
And wasted some onions.
How many onions is that?
Onion jam, somebody said.
Gross. Don't do that.
Oh, that's nasty.
How many, like, was that a bag of onions?
Nah, she just cut up some onions, put it in a grocery bag. And I had to put
slept with that?
Yeah, on my feet, on both of my feet.
All right, so I
don't understand. How did that stop the cough?
Yeah, I don't.
It doesn't.
I don't. I feel like it was a mental thing, man.
I can't tell. Yeah, I think it is. And a placebo effect or whatever. I can't tell if this person is trolling to get you to keep doing some nonsense or if they really believe this. But from the 832, nah, Fig. The onions in the sock works. You got to stick with it.
Nah.
So, yeah, do it a month.
Nah. Hey, I don't give a damn if Dr. Phil said keep doing it, man. I'm cool, man.
And Wes on the YouTube said steam, cayenne pepper, and garlic. So now you're getting all the remedies in there.
I have been doing I did some steam, ginger root.
Yeah.
So I've actually been snacking on some ginger root at this point. It don't even taste that bad now. It used to be nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm over here eating it like chips.
Potatoes in your socks coming in on the text. Hey, if you don't just go get you some Tussin, I don't know what you're doing here.
I know. Yeah. They have, drugs for this.
Hit the corner store right here. Get you some Tussin,
bro. I tried everything. It's not working. So I'm going to just go to the doctor.
These are my confessions.
I had another confession, but I'm going to switch gears here because you reminded me when you said your wife recommended it. I don't understand. I mean, I know better than to do this, and I don't even remember the exact dream.
Uh-oh.
But it was a dream about my wife.
You shouldn't be telling us this.
No.
I don't need it.
I don't even know exactly what it was. You know how it gets kind of foggy? But she did something that was either bad or made me mad or whatever. I woke up this morning. I was mad at my wife.
No.
I was just like, man. Like, she's like, good morning. I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
That's what females do, man.
I know.
Females is known for doing that.
Because of
the
dream.
I had a dream. You cheated on me.
Yeah, something. It wasn't. I don't know if it was that or not, but I was like, yeah. Everybody does. You ever done that? You wake up, you have a dream, and you're like mad at them?
No.
I've never done that.
I know females who did have dreams that their dude cheated on them.
Yeah.
So they woke up, oh, you out here?
Yeah.
I had a dream about you. So something in my heart feels.
Something's happening.
I feel something
in my
gut.
Here's the question I will ask, Lopez. Mm-hmm. How long did you have that poor attitude to your towards.
I just
your
needed my coffee. I realized, like, what am I doing?
Oh, because he just needed, you just needed the drugs. All right.
When I woke up and I'm walking into the kitchen and she's there, I'm like, yeah, okay.
Okay, so now we've got the text line. I feel like there's one thing a day that the text line decides that, hey, we're going to go up about, and it's about making sure that Figgy gets his cough handled. Mm-hmm. From the 281, Figgy needs that lean, purple orange.
Oh, yeah.
Have you out here like Gucci Mane. From the 832, Theraflu with honey and lemon.
That sounds good.
Shot of whiskey after.
That's better than some damn onions in my sock.
Yeah.
And then another 832 said, Figgy, it's the drier air with all the heaters on that's doing it. They said they had the same call.
That could be it.
And you know, I mean, I moved to this about 4 or 5 years ago. I got me a humidifier.
That worked. We got one.
I actually bought one a couple weeks ago.
You've been using it when you sleep?
Yeah, I use that, yeah.
Yeah, man.
They told me put the onions by it.
Mm-hmm. No. The whole room is now onion soup.
Had that whole smelling like Subway, man.
Hey,
I'm telling
yo.
You. And that's not a pleasant smell in the crib.
I can only imagine.
These are my confessions.
I gotta confess, I think we need to reform sideline interviews.
Oh, that was not good, huh? You talking about last night?
Yes. And I don't even think this is about like the players or anything, in some ways, there's the natural rapport that we've just kind of fallen into. We've fallen into a rut. But some of these questions, and mm-hmm. I understand, right? I'm not saying we need to get rid of sideline reporters. I think their jobs are important. They bring a lot of information. But these walk-off interviews,
Yeah. They're
so boilerplate now. Like, oh man, this player was this. Just how this was that player. And, you know, we all know what that is. Does that really add anything to what we're doing here? Not necessarily. Now, there are good questions within there sometimes, but it feels like more often than not now, we're getting these kind of boilerplate questions.
Absolutely.
And
it's not just now. It's been a long time.
Milquetoast answers.
Yeah, it's been a long time like that. It's funny you run this up because remember, I think it was Clarissa Thompson who was under fire because she said she made up a story one time.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's different. Like, that's like the actual reporting that I think. But
yeah, but I think to kind of defend that a little bit, the answers be so basic.
You know what the answer is.
Yeah.
You know what the story is.
Yeah. So it wasn't nothing groundbreaking like an injury report or something like that. But it'd be so basic where, like, do you even need that at that point?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's you get enough out of it those times where it is there. I just feel like we might need to work on it. We might need to put it.
They just want that FaceTime. It's network stuff, man.
Yeah,
that's all it is. Get the coach's face on TV as he's walking off. Okay.
Yeah. 832. You are correct. That is exactly what Figgy said. I will not repeat. Someone said hotty toddy with Fireball, Figgy, which I don't think you should be drinking Fireball at all. You are old enough to have avoided that.
Yeah.
From the 832. No cap. I cured pneumonia with the onions. Disagree. and then finally. Because a running joke won't stop running, apparently. Just don't drink any milk. It makes you cough worse. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a football Friday. In fact, coming up next, I actually forgot that we changed the segment. So that was the wrong segue. However, The Ringer, the publication, has a least improved player list when it comes to the NBA. Do you agree with the inclusion of this Rockets player? Let's just talk about it next.
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, it is a Football Friday here in the Loop. Lopez, Reginald Adetula, and Figgy Fig here with you. And Figgy, apparently, one of your confessions was about a cough and... Everybody that's listening in the loop, man, they're jumping in to try and see if they can get you back to full capacity. There's all sorts of things coming in. Somebody making it known that apparently the onions on your feet is supposed to draw the sickness or fever to your feet, whatever that means. Somebody
like
said
Civil War stuff, right?
Yeah,
there, man.
At that point, I'm like, are we supposed to be eating onions if it's doing all that?
Right, exactly. What is it drawing up here? What is it drawing to my stomach? Somebody said you got to jump up and down 3 times, spin and touch your toes, and then do a handstand and count to 10.
Yeah, that one, Figgy. Do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do it right now.
Got you. I'll let you know how that go.
Yeah. So hopefully you can get that fixed. If you got a home remedy for Figgy, real or not, 713-572.
Pecan bark tea. My mom used to give us pecan bark tea.
Huh.
Mm. I don't know. I can't remember how much it worked, but I did it.
I'll usually just do a white, what is it? White tea.
Mm-hmm.
And put a whole bunch of honey in there and hope that helps.
Honey always helps.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta, you know, get a whole like a few spoonfuls of honey straight up. Nothing else. All right. The Ringer does some really good work. I like a lot of their writing. Of course, it's heavily podcast now, but still some really good contributors there. And they put together a, when it comes to the NBA, a list of the least improved players of the 2024-2025 season thus far. Obviously, most improved player is an award, so this is a riff off of that. But included in this list is a Rocket. So on the list, you have some folks like Tyrese Haliburton, who, man, his season has been really disappointing, as evidenced by him being on this list. Terry Rozier of the Heat. Mike Conley, who I don't know if he should even be on here. That man is like 40-some years old.
Let
that man
are you still in the league?
Is he supposed to improve?
Yeah, I was like, at this point, what are you expecting?
He's not improving.
Yeah.
LeBron James. Yeah.
Jonathan Kuminga,
he's
the Warriors.
Not the player he was.
Yeah. But there is a Rocket that shows up on this list, and his name is Jalen Green.
Mm.
So let us know. Do you agree with Jalen Green's inclusion on this list? Because this Rockets team has been downright, like, has been formidable against pretty much every team that they played against this year, no matter the quality of them. And this is Jalen Green's fourth year, and Michael Pena, who is the writer here, says that Jalen Green's fourth year is shaping up to be what his third year was, which is 20 points per game with volatile shooting splits, inconsistent defense, and atrocious shot selection.
Mm-hmm.
Does any of that sound feel unfair about Jalen Green?
Not really, in terms of what his career has been. I think that's more than fair. We've talked about it. Others have talked about it. He's been somewhat inconsistent. I don't agree with him as least improved, though. What I think they're trying to say is least consistent, but he's been consistent of late.
Yeah, I was wondering. I feel like he's been kind of the same a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, did he have a better year than this? Like, it seemed like it's kind of, he kind of been the same. Like, he didn't really improve, or he didn't like go lower.
And I think that's what they're talking about. Like, he's the least improved. Like, there's not a lot of improvement there. And one of the things that Pena throws out there as evidence of that is his true shooting percentage is the worst of his career right now. So, like, when we talk about efficiency, that starts to pop up, which honestly, that's one of the things that I always think of with volume shooters in the NBA is it's cute when you're young. Right, when they're just like, oh, look at all the points here. And then at some point when expectations raise, which I think is what we're talking about with this Rockets team, expectations are raising, we're like, oh, why are you not more efficient? One of the dudes that I remember most recently having that kind of epiphany with was Donovan Mitchell when he was still in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, I was like, yo, look at this dude, you know, from Louisville playing at a high level. And at some point they're like, hey, dude, we need you to do, if you're going to be the best player on a team or what have you, you need to do this more efficiently because now you need to try and win. It's not just, hey, scoring a whole bunch of points, but can you turn that into efficient scoring in order to affect winning? And that feels like that's kind of where Jalen Green is at some point. Plus, apparently he's second to last in all players who take at least 15 shots per game when it comes to true shooting percentage as well. And that's one of the things you talk about is assist to turnover ratio. Those types of things are the things that we point to. How much do you value those things? Because you mentioned he's been on a decent run here, but again, it falls in with what a Jalen Green that we've seen before in that he'll have runs, maybe not as substantial as this one that he's had since, what, like about Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
But then he'll have runs of up, and then it'll trend back down, and apparently he's not really doing it in a very
efficient way. I think that's what they're talking about. I think they're talking about, they're looking at season-long numbers is what you've mentioned. And he can be a very frustrating player to watch over the course of a season.
Right.
Because you have lulls and you have very low shooting percentages. So I think what they're trying to say is least improved in terms of consistency.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just called up his last eight games. Tell me how you feel about this. 46 basically percent field goal percentage.
It's fine.
41% three-point percentage.
That's good.
83% free throw percentage.
Good.
25.1 points per game.
Love it.
That's eight games. That's a pretty good stretch. But you know what? Before that, it wasn't that. So I think, look, Jalen Green has been a frustrating player to watch for me. You know, he just has. Because before that, it was the lulls.
Yeah.
It was a 9-point game followed by a 28-point game. With a 6-point game, with shooting percentages, 33, 25, 33. And that's from the field. That's not 3-point percentage, you know, on some of these. So I think if you want to put him on that list, at least clarify, it's because he just can't get, he hasn't had that season of boy, this guy's going to be an all-star.
Yeah.
You know, because he's put 20, 30 games together.
Yeah, and I think it's on the text line, it's unfair because those stats are season based on a full season, especially with a bad start. Mm-hmm. But I think that's where I think at a larger scale people will point to and go, hey, you need to find a consistency. And mm-hmm. all of the bad games count as well, right? Like the bad stretches count as well in what you're doing here. But yeah, I think that I don't love him being included here. I understand why he's included here, but the market improvement is somewhere between those lines where mm-hmm. having a guy who is feeling more comfortable in the moments where you're like, hey, we need you to go get it, and then he can go get it. I think that's some of the things that we're talking about with this Rockets team, and he's demonstrating some of those things. It felt like he did that, oh, who were they playing a few games ago, where he started off poorly and was just like, hey, we need shooting today.
Yeah.
And he started knocking down shots. And, of course, that's within this 8-game stretch that you're talking about. You've seen him like be better about getting to the lane or getting to a mid-range pull-up if they need it. And I know that that's not really a darling of analytics folks unless you're just like a really incredible high lever or high mm-hmm. volume, or that's not even the right word. I keep saying the wrong one. If you're a high percentage mid-range shooter, then that's a shot that people like, but otherwise they don't. And I don't know how much he qualifies as that.
No.
But yes, the highs are getting better and they're being deployed a little bit more, more tactically by mm-hmm. him. He's being able to call those up in better ways. I mean, in part evidenced by this game that you saw in Memphis where, hey, he's scoring at a high level and he's you know, getting to the basket when needed, when you need him to show up. And mm-hmm. I think that matters. I there's still room for improvement. I think that's something that the Rockets would not deny, but you're seeing some of that improvement. It's just improvement that isn't quite on a stat sheet.
And I'm, you know, this is the perfect illustration. I think you mentioned since Thanksgiving. So I mentioned the last 8 games, really good numbers, really good percentages, 25 points a game. That was the last 8. The 8 before that, exactly the inconsistency that we're talking about. I mean, you know, plus minus, you know, minus 17, minus 16, minus 4, and percentages, you know, field goal, not 3-point. I'm looking at it right now. 41% field goal percentage, 29% from 3-point range, yeah. Averaging 17 points a game. So he can be frustrating to watch.
Yeah.
But put a month together, not just 8 games followed preceded by 8 games that are not you.
Yeah. And I mean, I do want, and you're right. Like, I'm not going to try and spin this as, you know, he doesn't have those ups and downs. That's ultimately the big question on Jalen Green is, can he find a way to be more consistent? We know that what those highs are and what they look like. Mm-hmm. Can you do that on a more consistent basis? But I also want to be careful with, I try to tell myself, hey, be careful with the Jalen Green thing, because there are some natural ups and downs with the game in general, right? I don't think anybody's going to come out and become
but those are big fluctuations.
A machine. No, yeah. Of course, absolutely. No one's going to come in and be a machine. It's like, hey, the 20 points every single game mm-hmm. in this particular way, and you're going to get exactly that. But yeah, it does need to be evened out. So I appreciate that, like, yes, there's still a level of growth there, and I think that's the main thing that we're all trying to figure out. Mm-hmm. But there is some appreciation to be had for the ways in which he is growing in this. And maybe we're trying to forecast it a little bit and seeing some of the stretch that he's had of late. But yeah, it feels like that is not having him as one of the least improved is not fully appreciating the places where it seems like he has. In some ways,
I think, you know, part of the frustration, and that's what I would characterize it, not necessarily just least improved, most frustrating is how I would put it. You keep feeling like it's going to come.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like he's right there. Like he's had in the last five games, I think he's had 33, 29, 27. I mean, you know, a couple of other big games in there. You feel like it's come. He's still young, and that's something that people are going to mention.
What 22, is it, 23? He'll be 23 yeah. next month.
Yeah. But he's not a baby in the NBA anymore.
No, he's not.
You know, and that's key. You know, you get 4 years in the NBA, I don't care how old you are. You know, you have to be able to know, they have to be able to know what they're getting out of you every night.
Yep, and I mean,
hey, 22?
22 will be 23.
Man, but 4 years.
Same age as his stepson.
All right. I knew that. As soon as he said, man, 22, I was like, he's about to do
it. I was
same.
Wondering where you were going with that, Figgy.
I know exactly where he's going. 27 points and on just over 50% shooting yesterday mm-hmm. In a big win against the Memphis Grizzlies. They'll get the Grizzlies again on a return trip in a few days on Monday. Tomorrow they get Atlanta in Atlanta. Like, they have a nice stretch. They'll get Memphis in the next few games, Denver, and then they'll get Cleveland at the end of the month a couple of times. So there's some real tough games in there. But ultimately for him, it's, yeah, can you show up in those games and give something good? Yes, but can you find a level of stability? That's what's going to be. I think clearly it's been the name of the game for him all year, but that's going to continue to be the name of the game in this next stretch for Jalen Green. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, yes, the time has come. Texans win because, Texans lose because. What are the factors, real or not real, that will factor into the Texans getting a victory on Wild Card Weekend tomorrow at NRG? 713-572-4610. We'll do it next.